back to Rock on the Fire. Been about a month. Woo. What's going on, fellas?
What's going on, brother? Where'd you spend your month? In the islands?
I was out in Wisconsin visiting some of your fans. Staten Island, yeah. I was out in Wisconsin visiting some of your fans.
Did you meet Todd from Kenosha in a parking lot or something?
Well, we had some discussions out there.
You guys are best friends now, aren't you?
We're pen pals.
Fucking Todd. Is this the What's Going On segment? What's going on? What's going on there? We gotta keep the structural integrity of the show, boys. I think she's my ex-girlfriend. Like, guys, my girlfriend literally just dumped me, man. We broke up like an hour ago, man.
You think she's your ex-girlfriend?
That's what I'm talking about. Can't we just, like, have, like, a trial period where we see a little bit less of each other, try and work things out? Everything's got to be all or none, you know? I got that. So
that sucks. That's not a good what's going on.
It's not a good what's going on.
Is that what you get for wanting to record Saturday morning?
No.
Okay.
No.
It's a lot deeper than that.
I would imagine. Okay. It's something that you just don't.
She got me what may be her last gift to me. I got it right here. I want to show you, boys. She made this herself out of pics and magazine clippings. I know you people at home can't see it.
It's very 1976.
Wow. Yeah, it is a Kiss collage.
You have a Kiss collage from all 1976 nice. Destroyer-era Kiss, and it looks like we have the original cover of Destroyer when they were still in the Alive costumes,
yep.
man.
Yeah. Yep.
And I met the guy who did that. Why can't I think of his name? I met the guy who made that painting just a few days ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Was he at the expo?
He was at the expo.
Was
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah, it's all assorted pictures. I think all from 76, as you said, bro.
Yeah. All the Kiss fans are going to have my head for not knowing the guy's name that did the painting for that, you know.
What was his name? I knew it too, man. I'm never going to remember it. But yeah, I think it's going to go to the bathroom, guys, running into the light. So I don't know. Next time you're
going to take a
shit.
You're going to go in the bathroom? You could look
Peter will be looking at your Peter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next time you guys are taking a dump, you can meditate on Bob Ezrin, the super producer, and his effect on a Destroyer record. I'll let the Kiss pick sit right here and overlook us for this podcast. Wish you some good luck.
And we'd like to also welcome any new listeners out there who may have come to us by way of Lydia Chris. We're seeing a lot of people turning up from actually all over the world in the last few weeks.
That's
so,
iTunes for you too, man, worldwide.
Yeah. Welcome aboard. We are not a Kiss Kiss podcast. We are a rock and roll podcast, taking in and assessing seven decades of rock and roll. Taking this thing on, you know, this whole venture a couple months back, we said, you know, we may have a problem finding our audience, and you know, because we're trying to appeal to a wide range of rock and roll fans out there, and mm-hmm. some things you're going to love and some things you may not love. But anyway, we have a segment called What's Going On, where we discuss what's going on in terms of what we're listening to, things we may have rediscovered or just discovered for the first time, things that are happening in rock and roll music. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to turn it over to Stickman.
Oh, there's a lot to talk about, particularly this week. I already talked to you guys. Pat, you have something you want to talk about for this week, for this month?
My only thing is that Roger Waters just announced he's going to tour next year.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that was pretty big exciting.
Wow.
Pretty big exciting news. Taking a big stage out with him.
Now he's not doing the Wall again, though.
I don't think he's going to do the Wall this entire
year. I think he's focusing on animals.
On animals.
Oh, wow.
Our main topic for this show is going to be Desert Trip. The desert trip that the shows that are happening out in California, and Roger Waters seems to have a massive animals backdrop. I don't know if it was a text or something you posted about what Roger Waters touring, and my first thought was, I hope he's not doing Dark Side in its entirety again.
Oh. Yeah,
because even when he does other things, Dark Side of the Moon somehow fits its way into the show. Yeah. It's always there. You know, in between that and watching Floyd do it in 94, I think, you know, I've just seen enough of Dark Side of the Moon. I have no more use for it.
It is called the Us and Them tour.
Right. And you know what? But, I mean, given the fact that he's got the massive animals backdrop and he's doing things like pigs and dogs in his set list, I think it's a little bit of a foreshadowing of what's happening in 2017.
So is the he has the levitating pig in between the smokestacks.
But he's got as far as the imagery, the visuals on stage seems to pertain to animals. I know animals record.
In a past episode, I know me and you, Mike, agreed. I don't know if Pat did too about our favorite Floyd album being Animals. In fact, I know it's mine.
That's mine.
That's my second.
Yours
favorite.
His was the one.
Oh, we just missed it. Well, all right. Well, narrowly beat.
Yeah.
Animals for you. All right, 2 out of 3.
I never got to see Roger Waters, unfortunately. I've seen Pink Floyd. I've seen Floyd 3 times. 87. You know, Mike and I discussed it off air. 87, and what was the other one? 94. I saw twice in 87 and once in 94.
Momentary Lapse of Reason and the Division Bell.
Division Bell, right. That was
and then
the
I saw Gilmore for On an Island, that tour in 06. And then I saw Waters in 07. Waters solo was the best Pink Floyd show I ever saw.
Somebody else had mentioned that to me too.
To me, Pink Floyd with Gilmore is kind of like solo Gilmore, and it's just like his choice of material with them.
Yeah,
Waters put on the best Pink Floyd show I ever saw, hands down. The big news this week and in the last 3 days is Bob winning the Nobel Prize for Literature.
We were aware of that, Pat. Bob won the Nobel Prize.
I was aware. I was. Yeah. It you know what it did for me? You guys know that I'm not a huge Dylan fan. I don't dislike him. There's so much of his stuff that I don't know, but it got me to listen to some more of his stuff.
Got you thinking again, huh?
Yeah it did. I just looked at some other the material that I didn't listen to. I was like, oh wow, this was then, and I was really blown away by how early his career started some of that old stuff. And, you know, it's the second time, because the other time was the 66 episode that we did, and I went back to look at Blonde on Blonde.
Yeah.
And so that's what it really did for me. And I don't know if anybody takes it like I do music-wise. Like, you know, when you see something like that in the news, major, you're going to research it a little bit more, and it opens your eyes to something else. And I think music is really all about that. You're going to find something.
And Dylan is a conduit to everything.
Sure, yeah. You know, stuff that I love, he's without him, wouldn't be.
And the fact that you did that with everybody that, you know, as far as like the argument I always get about Bob is that we don't like his voice. I just can't stand his voice. I can't, you know, there's so many groups and artists where, you know, that's valid, man. With Dylan, you can't just say I don't like his voice and get away with it, man. You gotta go deep beneath the surface, because there's a reason.
Yeah,
he's preserved in the Library of Congress, and the Kennedy Center honored him, man, and he's now a Nobel Prize winner. There's a reason. It's not just because Mikey D says so.
Exactly. You know? This is like validation for what we've been saying a lot of our life.
Ozzy Osbourne might have one of the worst voices in fucking rock and roll, but it worked.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
and you're dead on with that, Mike. You are, because I mean, lyrically, the guy is. I don't think he can be touched, really.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, they elevate what he does to the level of poetry. And the one broadcast, I don't know if the Nobel Committee said this, but it said greatest living poet.
It's not about the music with Dylan, man. It's about what he was saying and how he was saying it, and the fact that he made it possible to even say it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
None of it would have happened the way it did without him doing it first.
We've been through this, man. But yeah, for a lot of people that are still unsure, it's just one more thing that makes you say, huh, there's something there to this guy. Yeah. All right, so congratulations, Bob.
You did it, Bob. Hooray for you.
That's one.
Somebody's celebrating a 90th birthday today.
Chuck!
Yeah.
Chuck.
Hail.
Ah, it's his 90th,
Founding father, Chuck Berry, 90 years old today, seems to be overshadowed by a lot of what's going on this past weekend.
You and I had that discussion off air that it's just overlooked.
Yeah.
How can you fucking overlook Chuck Berry's 90th birthday?
It's 90.
You know, we'll do a song and a dance for the fucking anniversary of fucking Kurt Cobain blowing his face off, but God forbid fucking Chuck Berry turns 90 and we don't fucking say a word about it.
Wonder what they're doing at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame institution today in honor of Chuck. We're having a Chuck party, I hope.
Probably nothing.
Open the place up, let him dance.
Probably nothing. No.
They don't do things like that, like the American Museum of Natural History. They have like sleepovers and parties.
Sleepovers.
They do. You can sleep in the museum, and they have laser lights.
That's true. Yeah, not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's a bunch of,
I
don't know what those people are. They're clearly not rock and roll fans.
Speaking of rock and roll, we had an episode before, Lydia. We were talking about overrated and underrated bands.
Right.
As I recall, people responded to it.
Yeah, there was some stuff I needed to say.
There was some stuff I needed to say, too.
You first.
We overlooked some things. Yeah. What did you say?
I'm sure we did.
My most overrated. Stop right there, man.
Dude, if you're thinking what I'm thinking, bro, we're good. We're good. We got telepathy.
I don't think we're thinking the same thing.
I think we're thinking the same band. Hold on.
Mine's not a band. Mine's a douchebag.
Oh, yours isn't a band?
Douchebag.
All right, mine's a band. There's a band that... All right, so it's a singer. And a singer you're talking about. Okay, well, first of all, before we get into that, one, that if memory serves me, man, no one mentioned. We didn't mention it. No one online mentioned it. How the F did not someone not say that Aerosmith did not come up that episode? No one said Aerosmith was overrated.
I think one person said Aerosmith. I don't know if I
would agree with them being overrated. Here's why: their career in the 70s was great.
They were great.
When they hit that Walk This Way and then the Angel, and I think they kind of took a whole different turn for like a pop rock band.
There's no doubt. There's Aerosmith 1 and Aerosmith 2.
Okay.
After they got back together.
Fair enough.
Much different band.
Fair enough. Absolutely.
One, they're supposed to be sober, supposed to be, and the other, they're partying.
Yeah. They didn't like each other very well. They still don't really like each other. Yeah.
In order for the 70s bands to survive the 80s, they had to start following the same trends of the 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know about overrated for them, though. I mean, I think a lot of bands... I wouldn't either. I think a lot of bands were put together because of Aerosmith, American bands, at least.
I don't think they're overrated either, but I will say that the string of songs that were hit songs in the 90s, a la You Are My Angel, were a little overrated. They had a couple of those really sappy ballads that
I can agree with. Off the heels of the 80s power ballad.
And the crying that I do is for you. Is that? No, that's You're My Angel. God damn it, what's the song? They had a couple.
They had a song called Crying, too, so.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Crying when I met
crazy,
you.
Crazy, crying. Crazy.
There you go, boys. Those tunes are
amazing.
Overrated.
There was all those one-word
right
names.
Child or something? Yeah.
Destiny's Child.
A Desmond Child.
Oh, I thought you said Destiny's Child.
That, too. But they're all in that same generic.
Now, from what I remember, when we picked, was it five? Underrated, overrated. There was no order. I don't know if yours
not
were
really.
In order. It was just five random, you know, that there was no, you know, this is the number one and this is the number two. From what I remember, it was just random. My other artist was the one that I forgot to mention was Kid Rock.
Okay.
Yeah. Going back to, there was one discussion that where Pat had brought up, you know, when we were talking about what the hell happened to rock and roll and that element of adding rap to the mix.
Right.
You know, I just never dug the sound, the combination of rock and rap. It's like that commercial, man, your peanut butter is in my chocolate. No, you dipped your fucking chocolate in my peanut butter, you know?
Yeah.
And it turned into something good. Well, you know what? You bit into it and it tasted like shit.
It's a good idea.
Would you say also that a band like Anthrax, who worked with Public Enemy, you're not into that either, like that Fight the Power and stuff like that? I mean,
think about how corny it sounds now, though. But we're a heavy metal band, raps a different way.
I didn't.
Not cliche.
Not that, because that's horrible. And they, you know, when I saw them last time, they kind of broke into that as a joke, more or less. They get it. It's like
they
a
get
joke
it.
Of
it
themselves.
Wasn't a joke back then, though.
Yeah, it was a huge hit because every kid in America
was Anthrax on that? Was Anthrax on Fight the Power?
I don't know if it was Fight the Power. They did a song with them. Wasn't it a song? Was it their song? I think it was their song, Fight the Power.
Okay, I know nothing about that.
There was something that Anthrax did with them. I'm not. Please don't quote me, everybody out there.
Yeah, right.
And
to anybody listening,
me.
I know nothing about. I'm less than 101 on rap. And hip-hop.
I'm going to look it up now, actually, while you continue to talk.
That Fight the Power, man, I didn't dig that until I saw Do the Right Thing. And it took me a while to see Do the Right Thing. I'm actually ashamed to say it took me almost 20 years to see that movie because it's become one of my 10 favorite movies ever.
I'm not a big Spike Lee guy.
I think it's just culturally important. I think it's one of the 10... I don't want to give it a number, but I think it's one of the more important American films of the last 30, 40
bring the
years.
Noise. Bring the Noise was the song, boys. Bring the Noise.
I never dug that whole baggy pants, no shirt, bouncing around the stage, man, grabbing your balls, man.
I've seen
a little headset instead of a microphone.
No, he uses a mic. I've seen him
three
times.
And then he did that, you know, it was almost like he was like trying to like, okay, redefine himself. No, I'm a rocker now. Now I'm making songs with, you know, Sheryl Crow, man.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Billy Gibbons.
which
not everybody can do everything.
He's a hillbilly. He's what he really is.
I don't know.
Times.
He just strikes me as just disingenuous. I think he's a fraud. I don't think he's, you know, it's just okay. Wow. How can I get famous, man? You know, what's going to work for me? This didn't work. Maybe this will work. That's just me. It's just my two cents. We weren't supposed to talk about it, but since you brought it up,
Kid Rock.
Yeah,
I want to throw a shout out to my morning jacket, who easily could have made my list and didn't. I had a little texting back and forth, not texting, but Facebook conversation with Aaron from down south there, and he had mentioned
Aaron.
Them, and I saw him open for Pearl Jam, and he's right, and they probably should have made my list. It probably put me to the other side where I could bump somebody and put them on it as underrated.
I got to give them another shot. I got to try my morning jacket again. All indications are that I'm supposed to like them. What I heard, I didn't blow me away, but I got to give them another shot.
That's such a great thing that you just said, because I hate when somebody, you're supposed to like this band. Don't you just fucking hate that?
We got to do it. We need to do a show on the bands you're supposed to like.
Fuck off. I don't have to like anybody.
You know, Radiohead, like radio.
Yeah,
we were off the air, man. This didn't make it to a show, but I love this with the way you said it, man. You're like, what's with Radiohead, man? Every time Radiohead comes back, it's like, here's Radiohead, and it's an event, and every album's a fucking event.
It's a huge fucking thing. Every radio station has to bow down and kiss the ring of fucking Radiohead. Get fucking lost.
I mean, I like Radiohead. I don't
love
even Radiohead.
Fucking like them. You know? Oh my god.
I would say I love them. You're in the middle. You hate them.
No,
I
know
them.
You love them, man.
I do love them.
But what else?
You have to like this. Whatever happens to, hey, check this out, you might dig it.
Yeah.
You have to like this. Right. What the fuck? Imagine me going up with my Steely Dan collection and say, here, you have to like this.
Yeah,
I'm going to get the shit kicked out of me up and down fucking St. George's
Avenue.
But
if Steely Dan came out in the year 2000, Steely Dan would be one of the bands you're supposed to like.
Great point.
Yeah.
That's a fucking great point.
I got one more for you, man. And I think this one didn't even make my list because I was so sure, Mike, that it was going to be on yours. I was so sure that you would say Motley Crue as an overrated band that I didn't even go there. And I know you and I have talked
about that numerous times
growing up about how
they were never taken seriously by critics, man. They were more like they were
so
fans,
what?
Man.
That's
man.
Not,
you know, they were just kind of.
I got one little thing to say about that.
Shut up, Motley Crue, yeah.
Look up YouTube footage of the US Festival of Motley Crue's performance.
What year?
What was that, 82 was the US Festival?
82 or 83. 83 both years. Yeah.
Look up when Motley Crue played the US Festival and then come back to me. And to anybody out there, come back to tell me why you're a Motley Crue fan after watching that performance.
That's the sense.
If you can't sense my sarcasm in that fucking thing,
yeah, that's what I thought.
You should be killed. Not you personally. Well,
speaking of 80s, the 80s, and just on a lighter note, what's also in the news, I guess, if you're in the metal world, a shout out to all of our metal fans in Japan who are enjoying the Dokken reunion, you know, the 6 or 7 day Dokken reunion, and then
George Lynch ends on 7 days.
Yeah, it's the four of them.
Them two didn't fucking like each other at all.
They should do a whole album concerts, man. Are you doing that? Did a whole Tooth and Nail.
Apparently,
Dokken
and Freddy Krueger action.
Yep.
They agreed to get together in Japan for a price. They didn't say what the price was, but hey, it's gonna help them for the, I guess.
Money will make you like anybody.
Yeah.
And George Lynch apparently is not saying no to, you know, anything further in the States if this thing works.
Huh.
That wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even know anything about that.
No, I took note of it a couple days ago. It was, you know, so that's happening, and that's the end of my list as far as
that's my what's going
getting
on,
into
too.
The really big what's going on is what's going on out in the desert on the West Coast.
I know. The fires, it's crazy. Everybody's burning up.
And here's the thing. Desert trip. What's surprising me is how little attention these shows are getting.
Tell the listeners what you speak of, Mike.
We're talking about Desert Trip, which is a series of a festival setting.
Two weekends, right?
The past 2 weekends, this weekend. In fact, as we record this, the final concerts are going on, which tonight is The Who and Roger Waters. Or I call them the Two, now that it's down to Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey. The Who is now the Two.
Oh, change the logo, too, with the arrow pointing up and the bullseye.
The arrow pointing down now.
Yeah.
Roger Daltrey, if you're out there listening, we're going to get you more money than what Pete's giving you. You just listen to old Stickman, Mike, and Pat.
Yeah, man.
Oh, you know, the phrase that they're calling that whole thing out there is
old Jello.
Yeah, man. I laughed so
hard. Now, here's
the
thing. If this was like 25 years ago, this would be the biggest event in the history of rock and roll.
I'm shocked that it's not getting more media attention. I'm blown away by that.
You know what? You're right, Ben.
I'm fucking blown away by how is it not?
Because
Coachella.
How is it not?
Because Radiohead is fucking playing Coachella.
Because
let's fucking
Radiohead.
Stop traffic.
We're going to put a meme up on our, we're going to make a meme for our Facebook page, and it's just going to be a picture of Tom York, and it's just going to say, because Radiohead.
with all the people underneath him. You know who he is? He's the fucking Kanye West of rock and roll. How's that?
I like that.
Because Tom York doesn't beat his chest over how fucking great he is.
Right. He doesn't have that ego.
He's humble, man. Tom York is connected to the core, man.
All right,
he's real,
all right, Your Honor, I retract.
All right, as long as you retract and understand.
Initially, I liked it, too. I don't know why.
That hit Kanye West is a fucking tool.
Even though I love Radiohead, that struck a chord to me.
If you dislike them that much, man, hey, I get you, man. I'm not going to argue.
But you brought up a great point, because they're not puffing their chest. They're not saying, we're Radiohead, we're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Right.
But getting back to Motley Crue. She got the looks that kill. That tune was pretty good. Right after that, for my money, the second Theater of Pain comes out, and they start doing what everybody else was doing with the sequins. Vince Neil
killed somebody.
And here's my fucking... fire for tonight, because Vince Neil, overrated, totally.
There's a future show, man. There's a future show coming up in the year 2017 sometime. We're going to do a show on the golden age of metal. And I put, those of you who can't see me, I'm holding my fingers up in quotation marks, the golden age of metal. And you mentioned Theater of Pain. I guess I was going to save that thought for that show, but I'll just say that Theater of Pain, to me, is the moment that metal went from having testicles to getting into everybody dressing like Maude, you know, like B. Arthur, and like, like where like everything went from leather and studs and chains
to
fluorescent pink lace and garter belts and like... G-strings on your head and just, you know, even
instead of wearing lingerie.
Those dudes got laid, though.
And, a couple of them were like, look how awful Gene Simmons looked in sequence.
He looked like fucking Maude.
Yeah, he literally like Maude, man.
Still does.
He's like your mother-in-law.
Because you know, when Theater of Pain came out, and that came out early summer of 85, and after that, it was just everything, even like... to bring him up again. Like, even Gene Simmons started dressing like they went into that, you know, Kiss and Their Asylum period, man. And then the following year.
Right. Ozzy for Ultimate
Sin.
Ozzy
with a sequin gown.
That's when
you
had Poison and Cinderella came out and Britney. Like, everything was just kind of like...
They even had chick names.
Pink and yellow and green.
Striper.
Yeah, Striper.
We can go on and on and on.
And I think Motley Crue did wield that kind of influence. Them and maybe Poison were perhaps, I mean, they're red hot at the time. Maybe a band looked at them and said, yeah, you know what? That's the direction that it's all going.
The word
poser
was not used before 1985.
Yeah, no, those guys were the original posers.
It was when two things happened in metal was where Motley Crue puts out Theater of Pain. Everybody follows suit with their visuals. You know, and then the rise of Metallica and Slayer and thrash comes, like thrash hits big in 86.
Yeah.
So metal kind of forks.
Oh,
it goes off into two or three different ways. And
faction.
Then you start seeing the word poser, and all of a sudden, that's not real metal. We're real metal. And then you got Manowar saying, all those death to those who play false metal.
Well, you know, so
each note I now play be a black arrow of death sent straight to the hearts of all those who play false metal.
That record in particular, the people behind that record, they had to have listened to it and said, Jesus Christ, we got this song Home Sweet Home on here. How do we market this with them dressed in leather and studs? And, you know, they had a ballad on it.
Yeah.
Vince had just come off of fucking basically killing that guy from Hanoi Rocks in the car accident. They're like, well, you know, we got to throw all our money at keeping this guy out of fucking prison, because they have a good record in their eyes on their hands. And now how do we promote this? Hey, I got an idea. Let's dress them up like fucking broads and just send it out there and see what happens.
Man, it worked, man, because everybody started doing it, God knows.
Yeah.
And you know what?
They would never have played Old Cella.
You know what? I'm going to be sincere, though, man. At the time, I loved it. I dressed in those clothes. I looked like a girl, man. I sprayed my hair up high, bro. I was a super poser.
You had to look like a girl to get a girl, my friend.
Yeah, you did. The girls liked it.
There's pictures floating around of me out there that are not too flattering.
And I tell you, man, the quality of my day was directly related to how good my hair looked, man.
I had some pretty long hair, man, but I never used hairspray. It was never like teased up or anything like that.
Man.
I never used none
you
of
use
that
any
shit.
Product?
Man. Never, man. Really? Never.
You
never.
Something like
never. I never
up
did that fucking shit of like blow drying my hair upside down so it would hang all high,
so
man.
You had to do.
And doing all that Aquanet shit, man. Nah, man. I never had an embarrassing hair period. I mean, I look back and yeah, sure, it's embarrassing as shit, man. But it's just embarrassing on its own natural terms,
yeah.
man.
Yeah,
you know, through no fault of my own.
Oh, my hair was high. My hair was very high.
Yep,
and different color, and it was. Ooh.
But something about Motley, man. I loved Rat, Priest, Kiss, all that stuff. Motley didn't stick with me, man. Never liked it.
So, last week, the first weekend of Desert Trip was...
getting back to old
Chela. Get this, man. Get this. I mean, if in 1990, 1985, somebody told you that there was going to be a bill with... All right, I want to say the Beatles, but Paul McCartney is representing the Beatles.
Yeah.
The Beatles, the Stones, Bob Dylan... The big three.
The Who. The sprinkle Neil Young in there.
Pink
just for
Floyd,
shits and
which is being represented by Roger Waters yeah. because David Gilmour is such a... never mind. I love David Gilmour, but you know what? It's love-hate because he's the one that's preventing the Pink Floyd reunion from happening all these years.
Who knows? Who knows what goes on behind
those
doors?
Exactly. He just despises Roger.
And Neil Young. Well.
And Neil Young jammed with Paul, too.
All of these, the big six, they're calling it. So about a year ago, a little less than a year ago, they started talking about this thing as rumors that this thing is going to happen.
Tour.
And then they said, well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in October. And then we kind of forgot about it. Right. And then nobody talked about it leading up to it. And, you know, in recent weeks, you weren't hearing much about it. All of a sudden, it was there. It was like there was this article I saw in the New York Times about a week ago. And when is this happening? Tonight.
Yeah.
Like it literally just that day, it was like, oh, Desert Trip, it's happening. Wow. I was like, holy shit, I forgot all about it. I called, I texted you. I said, we got to do a show on Desert Trip. We have to at least, you know, even if we don't do a full show, we have to at least acknowledge it and talk about it and put it out there.
Can't
and just
it didn't happen.
This is going on. Yeah, man. Bob Dylan and Rolling Stones was Friday night.
Yeah.
Neil Young and Paul McCartney was Saturday night. And the Sunday night show was The Who, The Two, and Roger Waters. And again, this weekend, it happened again. And so like right now, as we're speaking, as we're recording this.
Who was Dylan with, bro?
Dylan was with The Stones.
How about this? You know, Paul McCartney on a Thursday night goes and finds this dive bar.
Did he?
In Pioneer Town, California. It's called Pappy and Harriet's. And played in front of 300 people in that bar.
You gotta be kidding me.
Dude, he did Beatles stuff. He did Wings stuff. He did solo stuff.
I heard he brought his regular set list, which is 32 songs or something like that. 33?
22 songs.
Okay, that's an abbreviation. It's like three quarters of his show.
But I mean, he did like fucking I Got a Feeling. I mean, he did some really good
stuff. His set list
stuff,
is incredible.
Man. It really
the
is.
The stuff that he's doing. And like you said, you were telling me last night, we were out last night, and you were saying something. Tell me what you said, man. Just say, well, basically.
I don't remember.
What did you say? You said something.
Well, I don't really remember.
That he gets it. Like,
oh,
he
yeah,
knows.
That's right.
Like,
exactly.
I'm the only one that can possibly do this.
Yeah,
as
that's
far
right.
As, like, Ringo is not going to do it.
I posted it on our Facebook page. Paul gets it. He gets it. This guy just gets it, man. You know, at one point, I remember the conversation now, Mike.
We were
at
outside.
One point, yeah,
we were
and I remember.
Outside.
At one point, you know, he hated the United States. He had the drug bust, you know, with the Wings tour.
Yeah,
you know, there was a bad taste in his mouth playing Beatles tunes. But then, as he aged, he realized I'm a fucking Beatle. This is my legacy, man. I'm arguably the best band, rock and roll band ever. I'm gonna play this stuff,
nice
and the people
say.
Do want to hear it because they're paying thousands of dollars to see him. And the guy just gets it. He shows up at a fucking dive bar. That's like the equivalent of us three sitting here. That's him showing up the Liberty fucking Tavern
in Liberty,
New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, that's what that is. And that's just incredible. And the set list was dynamic. It was, you know.
Now, I'm just getting, so who did McCartney play with the first night? Was it the first night? McCartney?
Neil played first.
Was it
Neil? Neil Young played first, and then McCartney went on.
Right, I'm trying to determine which show, if I had to choose, I'd go to. McCartney and Neil, Dylan and the Stones, and Who and Waters.
That's tough.
That's fucking... I'm have to say Waters and the Who.
Me too. You know what? Dylan and the Stones are two out of my top three. I worship them. But if I want to see a quality rock show at this point, I'm still sticking with the Who and Waters.
I had enough
of seeing Dylan mumble. I love him, but I'm sorry, Bob. I'm going with the Who and Waters.
I think I would have to go with the Who and Waters as well.
All three of us are going to the Who and Waters, boys.
Love Bob, but you know what? For the past 10 years, the whole Scooby-Doo voice is not working.
Yeah.
Love
him.
It's a set list that's heavy on current material. The Stones, the same thing. You know, it's a greatest hit show, and I would much rather see the powerhouse, the guaranteed powerhouse
guaranteed.
In your face. The Who always delivers, man.
Yeah,
they always deliver.
He doesn't have it, He doesn't have it anymore. He's just
did Roger finally
lose that? You're right.
He's lost a step,
but he hasn't lost it the way Plant lost it with Zeppelin. You know what I mean? Like he can still get up there with a little bit of dignity and sing those songs.
I can agree.
Man.
He can do it with dignity. Yeah. You know, now it's not as easy a decision for me to say Roger Waters and the Who.
Right.
A, because I'm not a Who fan.
Right. See at all.
I've never seen Waters, and I want to because that right, you know, and you said it yourself in off-air discussion. That's the Pink Floyd show now.
And the set list that Roger Waters is just undeniably mind-blowing.
Now, on the flip side of that, I've never seen McCartney, and I would really, really want to see Paul McCartney and Neil Young. It's not he's nothing to, you know, I mean, his voice can get, you know, that can wear a little bit on you.
I love Neil. I
love Neil too. Yeah. But, you know, for 2 hours of Neil Young or an hour 45 minutes, you're just like,
it's not. If it was Crazy Horse, if you were playing with Crazy Horse, it might be a little bit different. My pick might change if it was Crazy Horse, but it's doing a lot of more of his country era.
Is he
material?
So you know the decision.
I mean,
oh,
he's mixing it up. He's mixing it up as far as across his entire career. But I think it's not as heavy on Crazy Horse material.
Yeah,
I could live the rest of my life, the rest of my days on this planet without hearing another Who song, and I'd be fine.
I was talking to Mahalchik about some of the costs of this show. Just to park, like your 3-day parking pass is like $500 or some nonsense.
God. That's why everybody.
Mahalchik is in the studio right now.
Yeah, we have an old hippie sitting on the couch. Do you remember? We were looking at it together, man. The costs of the desert concert.
500 to 4,000.
We were looking at some VIP packages that were like one percenter.
That's why everybody in that audience has fucking gray hair and they're an executive for some fucking corporation.
It has all CEOs and 1% enjoying
old
cello,
exactly.
And I saw footage of McCartney singing at the thing, and he sounded and looked old. He did. He did.
He's no spring.
They all sounded old, man.
Yeah, I mean, they are old.
Yep.
Who's the, you know what would be an interesting, who's the youngest one out of all of them? Well, Roger Waters, maybe?
Here's a possible answer to your question before, why it's not getting so much attention. Their generation, like you said, it's a whole bunch of aging hippies out there.
Yeah.
The baby boomers, that generation, their generation was the ones that gave us Rolling Stone magazine and Jan Wenner and that whole thing that wrote the story, capital S, of rock and roll and how we've perceived it in the last 50 years. It was that generation. You know, it was the Jan Wenners and the Dave Marshes and the John Landaus. Look, this is the millennials have taken over journalism, man. This is their era, and if it's not they're just aging. It's basically like it's my grandfather's music, man.
Yeah,
you know, it's my dad's music. It's stuff like that's all you get. It's like, you know, if it's not about, they would much rather report on the new. Is there, if there's a new album from what's that Animal Collective that you like?
Yeah,
stuff like that. It's that generation is putting the headlines out now. And I think that's why it's widely getting passed up as just old. It's called old cello or whatever.
Well, the equivalent of this was the Big Four in metal. And that got a lot of media attention.
I think it got media attention in the metal world. I don't know about mainstream.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, where they
broadcast it.
You know what?
They broadcast. Was it like HBO or something? One of the
was it
one or maybe it was MTV Live. There was a big channel that broadcast like an hour worth of it, and they did a good cut of each band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not saying it didn't get attention. I know it got a shit ton more than this. You're right.
And I'm sure there'll be a DVD that costs fucking $150. Yeah, it's six fucking DVDs. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to milk this for what they can, without a doubt. Because that's that fan base, like you're saying, that they can get every nickel out of it. Or they'll throw money at it. I know a guy who paid $1,500 to see fucking Paul McCartney in Atlantic City.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but I got $1,500 in my pocket. There's a lot more things I can do with that than trying to go see Paul McCartney.
There's a rumor. The rumor is that Plant and Page are going to join Daughtry and Townsend tonight. Now, I don't know. Now, by the time our show, by the time this show comes out, which is probably going to be, this is Sunday night, so it'll probably, I'll have it up by Monday night, Tuesday morning sometime, the show will be history. It will have happened already. So maybe, you know, there will be a headline, hey, half of Led Zeppelin joins half of The Who, or maybe we say, oh, you know, you'll listen to this and I'll have to edit it out or something.
Yeah.
and
not unedit it, because I mean, a rumor.
Well, it was a rumor, yeah. But that's my only complaint about, well, yeah, there's a lot of complaints, but where they went wrong with this show, this series of shows, is that I would have liked to have seen, like, guests, like, people joining. Like why didn't Keith join Bob Dylan on stage? Why couldn't Bob get up with the Stones?
Right.
Why, you know, the only thing we saw so far is Neil Young getting on stage with Paul McCartney for A Day in a Life.
Did not realize. Good point, man.
Yeah.
I was hoping we would see a lot of these artists intermingling with each other and getting on stage and doing each other's music and things like that.
They're never
like,
going to be on the same stage together.
It just seems like it's just like so obvious that it's all about a payday.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Bob shows up, does a show, and it's just like splits. I guarantee he's on a helicopter. It's just like one gigantic flyover date, and everybody's on their plane and they're out. You know,
the Stones played Saturday.
I guarantee you the Stones aren't even in town anymore.
And that's where the old factor plays in. These guys are in their 70s now. Clapton
did his series of those Crossroads benefits and stuff like that. He had some fantastic
people.
Those
are good shows.
They're fantastic.
Man.
And those guys are all fucking playing with each other, intertwined.
Yeah.
Fucking Jeff Beck playing with John Mayer. Ooh. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Now, I have a question about that. Those concerts, and I've only seen a few of them on maybe Palladia or VH1, one of those channels. Are those tours or are those just one-off concerts? And where do they have those concerts?
I know one of them was in Chicago because Bill Murray was there doing. He was like the MC.
I never hear about
them.
You never hear about them prior
to
them happening.
I don't know if they still do
it. So it's like they have to be somewhere in the Midwest.
It's a one-off. I know, like I said, that one was in Chicago where Bill Murray did it. I'm not sure if they moved the venue year after year.
Yeah.
I would have to look into that. But they've had some heavy hitters of blues and rock and roll, man, and they're really good. Sheryl Crow with like Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top, and Jeff Beck. Who the hell did he play with? Like I said before, John Mayer he's played with, and John Lee Hooker was on. I mean, they had some really cool fucking things, man. If you ever get a chance to check that out, definitely do so.
Sweet.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Maybe the old factor is sinking in for people. Maybe there are people out there that are like saying to themselves like we are. You know what? They're just old and they're not worth fucking $800 anymore. You know, like, if it was 20 years ago, even 10.
1989. It was the year that The Who reunited and The Stones toured for the first time in 7 years.
Steel
and it
wheelchairs.
Was massive. Both tours were massive. Paul McCartney toured the following year. It was big. Now it's just like Paul McCartney tours like every 2-3 years. It's just, you know, and that's a great thing, but it's not headline news anymore.
It's not what it was.
Saturation,
Pat mentioned earlier, Roger Waters is touring. You know when he said, he mentioned something, I don't know if you said it to me on the phone or if you said it on a text or on Facebook or something, but you mentioned Roger Waters was touring, and my first thought was, hasn't he been on tour for like the past 10 years? The fact that these guys are out there doing this and it's not so much news anymore.
Mm.
Whereas in 1989 or any time in like the late 80s, early 90s, there'd be a press conference every time one of these groups toured.
Well, our local radio station, Q104, made a big deal out of that announcement at Roger Waters.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, oh, we got a major concert announcement. I actually sat in the car and listened. I'm like, who the hell's touring?
Yeah.
My first thought, believe it or not, the first band that crossed my mind, try and take a stab at the first
Zeppelin.
Band. No. Good guess, though.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever do anything. I really don't. Take a shot, Stick.
Bandit, you were psyched for?
No, I wasn't psyched. I was just curious. I was curious. But they were so excited about announcing a tour for a band, a major tour concert announcement coming up.
Yeah.
And the first band that crossed my mind was U2.
That's me?
Yeah. I was, because they're due for a record, probably.
That makes sense.
And they love them. See, that's another one of the media darlings.
What Radiohead is to you, U2 is to me.
I get that.
You know, U2 is here, and they've got a new album, and let's fucking make it like the president's about to have the State of the Union address.
That's my point. I happen to like U2. I'm not.
I love early U2.
I'm not like that about them at all.
Right.
We've had this talk.
But yeah, exactly. We all have, off the air and on the air.
Getting a drink.
But the excitement level from the radio station was that it was going to be this big event, and I was happy to hear that it was Roger Waters, of course, but I thought it was, I didn't, he wasn't even on my radar. But like you were saying, I was just kind of making the points connect a little bit in that the media, it's already there. He's doing it already. He's still touring. My friend saw him 2 years ago or a year ago, and he's one of the people who also told me it was a great show. Go see it. It is the Pink Floyd show, basically.
It is. It really is. So, the show I saw in 2007 was by far the best Pink Floyd show I ever saw, and that's because and that's having seen Pink Floyd.
Right, and I agreed with you. I saw them 3 times.
I want to go on record, going back to fast forward about. I mean, let's rewind about a minute and a half ago when I said Led Zeppelin. I'm going to go on record. I think Zeppelin is going to happen before it's all said and done. Now, it may not be a mega tour. It may not be this massive. It may be a series of 5, 6, 10 shows in select cities. I think it's going to happen at some point. I think they're just going to say, look, everybody's doing it. The three of us are alive. It's a massive payday. Let's just do it. L.A., New York, London.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I'll stand by my ground on that. I'll stand my ground on that one. I don't think Plant wants it to happen.
He's the one that's holding it back.
Yeah, he
all these years.
Yeah. Really?
Sure. Because he can't sing.
He's playing a Roger Waters role. Wait, that hasn't stopped him from singing.
No, he's playing the Gilmore.
I bet.
He's content doing the Alison Krauss.
Yeah,
folky thing. He can still sing. He can definitely still
sing. I think they're going to do something in some capacity. I don't know. I just have a feeling about it.
I get the feeling that he won't, but he feels like he doesn't want to embarrass himself.
That's what it is.
And good for him.
Yeah, good for him is right.
Led Zeppelin is fucking Led Zeppelin. Right. I want to remember Led Zeppelin as they were.
Exactly.
That's not stopped.
Take me back. I mean, we all were in agreement about going back in time and seeing one of their shows. Absolutely.
Right, absolutely.
That I would put me in this, if you had the time machine outside, I'd fucking jump in.
I agree with you 100%. I'm not saying that I want it to happen. I'm just saying that I think it's going to happen. I think it's more going to happen than it's not going to happen.
And for that reason is why my reasoning is why it won't because of that. He doesn't. I think he feels like he'll embarrass himself. And they're not Led Zeppelin anymore.
I think there's a reason
that doesn't
why
stop a lot of artists. It doesn't stop Rob Halford from trying.
Exactly right. And I think he's on the on the outskirts looking at that. Yeah. He's like, well, fuck that. See, money, yeah. Judas Priest money isn't Led Zeppelin money, though.
And there's a reason why Jimmy Page, every 3 years, reissues the same catalog in some different
gets
box.
Gets that fucking right? money up again.
And, I mean, how many people are buying the same catalog in a different box every 3 years? How many? He can only do that for so long before they say, hey, man, we got to play some shows. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
I mean, unless one of them dies in the next 5 years, it's like the royalties are going to stop unless they license their music to Cadillac again or do some massive licensing deal.
Mm-hmm.
The money is going to the income is going to stop.
So I can hold you to this point. We're talking multiple shows. We're not talking like if there was a big natural disaster and this huge concert was put together and they got.
I'm talking about more than a one-time thing.
All right.
I think they're going to give certain cities a chance to say this is it. You've been wanting this, or maybe you don't want it, but for the people that want it, this is it. We're doing this. It's a one-time thing. It's not going to be a massive tour. You know, L.A., New York, maybe Chicago, London, select cities. That's it. If you fly to us, man, like Desert Trip.
Yeah.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
You work it out.
Yeah.
But we're doing this here. We're doing this one or two times, whatever it is. I think that's up ahead. I think it's just a matter of Page wants it to happen.
Of course he does.
John Paul Jones would do it in a second.
Yeah.
Jason Bonham. I know he's had some health problems, but he's playing. He's active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
aside from these reissues every few years, and it's the same. I mean, there's only like 10, 11 Zeppelin albums.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of music, which right. is why, how many times can they dig into the bag and say, well, let's get this session yeah. and that session and release the same catalog over and over and over again.
Yeah, he's they, not a jerk off.
They're
either.
Making their money on him. Licensing. There's no, you know. They,
I know somebody who no, met Robert Plant at the U.S. Open in New York.
Yeah.
At the tennis center there. And said he was like one of the nicest guys he's yeah. ever met. And I was like, yeah. wow, that's really cool. I mean, I think Brits get that, though. You know, Brits are yeah. always nicer than America. Americans yeah. are like, yeah, fuck off.
Hey, man, they just sell one of their songs to TD Bank Ameritrade or something, man. Boom.
Cadillac. They yeah. did it with Cadillac,
yeah, they
right?
did it, yeah.
How come?
Rock and roll.
How come the Pink Floyd song Money isn't a commercial for Citibank? Boom, 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 boom. You know where your cash is? just where money.
TD Bank doesn't know where it is. So. Yeah.
Nah, it's a who? Not TD Bank. It's this one with the Stagecoach logo. The bank.
Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo. Those are the cocksuckers.
A bunch
man.
Of crooks. They're all crooks.
I don't know how we're looking on time, man. We could pepper that guy over there. Hey, Tom.
What's up?
Come here for a sec. Sit down in a chair. Sit down in a chair anyway. And tell us three reasons why we should listen to the Grateful Dead. No, give us one effing reason why.
We're invite him back for the Grateful Dead show that's coming up next year.
By your silence, you're admitting that the Grateful Dead sucks.
There is a Grateful Dead show on the horizon.
You hear
I
that?
Can see it.
He can sit in for me.
There's a Grateful Dead show on horizon.
There's a Dead show coming up in 2017 at some point.
Then fine.
Well, anyway, we wanted to cover that. We wanted to talk about Desert Trip and a few of the things that are happening in recent days. And this is probably the first time that we really come to the microphones with some serious news. Like everything yeah. is, it always seems
Prince.
Like whatever news has always Prince. Been like 2 weeks old or something. And there's just like a lot of hot topics that are fresh off the.
Yeah, Prince was like recent. A week or a week old, maybe by the time we got.
Was
to
it a week?
By the time like, we got to Prince.
It's like a month.
Well, maybe more.
The release was. But I think we talked about it almost immediately.
No, we didn't talk about it.
Prince died in April, and our first show we recorded like in May.
Oh, yeah. Was it that? Wow. I didn't realize it was that far.
We pretended it was.
He died like around my birthday, so that's why yeah. I know. I didn't realize it was that much of a gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, so that, anyway, you're right. This is the major.
That's big news.
Chuck Berry turning 90.
Yeah.
Old cello for the old fellas.
Old cello.
And with that, we come to the end of Desert Trip.
Once again, I'd just like to thank everybody out there for all the feedback on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter.
Mm-hmm. We hope we haven't scared anybody away, anybody that's just joining us. This may be your first episode, or maybe your second episode.
And if we have scared you, face your fears. Come back.
There's a lot of good stuff up ahead.
Keep sending those letters and postcards to Stick. He loves reading them.
Yep.
Todd, we hope you come back.
Wherever you are, Todd.
I don't blame That's you for right, laying man. Low, Todd. But we love you guys, right?
You can find us on iTunes. Please, for the love of Christ, go to iTunes and rate and review us on iTunes.
Pat's taking his money out.
You.
He's bribing you.
We need
start paying
you.
People to listen.
That's right. All right. Peace out. Follow our shit. Pouring on me, bad news keep pouring on me.